I used to say I have these different callings. I have these different platforms. I believe 150,000% I am called to be an editor. It is my joy. It turns me on and revs my engine to bring a story that is locked inside of someone out in a polished manner. And I've worked corporate, I've worked personal, I've worked self-publishing, I've worked with publishing houses. And all of these things it bubbles out of me. And the thing that I love is when a client comes back because they are so appreciative of the way that I handle them through the book birthing process. And I have been called a book midwife, and I love that. So the way that it all ties back into motherhood, and I'll tell you something funny. When I was in college getting my degree in music composition, I named my college recital. You have to do a recital before you can graduate. I named my recital Scenes from a Womb. And I did this whole.
What if you were the living embodiment of all pervasive peace? What if all sentient beings all around you increase their vibration towards harmony by merely being in your contact? What if through conscious reasoning, focused will, and intentional living, you reform yourself, thereby becoming a catalyst in sparking transformation in others? I'm Shilpa Lewis, meditation, mindset, and mindfulness coach for midlife mompreneurs, and you are listening to Omnipresent Awareness, the podcast that'll inspire you to use your story to serve humanity in not just healing, but thriving as souls, each fulfilling their highest purpose. Namaste. Thanks for tuning in to Omnipresent Awareness. This is your host, Shilpa Lewis, and welcome back. Okay, so I'm running a little challenge as I'm trying to get more people to discover this podcast and the conversations that inspire those who value personal growth. And the best way to do that is to leave reviews. You can leave a review on Spotify, Google Podcast, or Apple Podcast. So here is a little request from me to you. If you feel like you have received any value at all from these episodes, then please write a little review and take a screenshot of your review. Once you've done that, email that screenshot to me at omnimindfulness@gmail.com. Once I get your screenshot, you will receive one of my infographics, Spark Your Meditation Practice Through Sankalpa. Sankalpa is the Sanskrit word for intention setting. Along with this, you'll receive a link to my guided meditation where you can daily practice intention setting with some inspirational music and breath work. This infographic, along with the guided meditation, is guaranteed to have you start your practice for meditation with a spark. It is my gift for you for being a listener, being a supporter, and of course, for you to be able to manifest the best meditation practice. So thank you for showing up, listening, and being inspired, and most importantly, taking action. I appreciate you. So again, please don't forget to take a screenshot of your review and send it to omnimindfulness@gmail.com, and I will send you that infographic and the link to the guided meditation. We are now in the season of Seeds of Abundance, which is our third podcast season honoring spring, new mindsets, and abundance. The season will cover mindful money mindset, movement and healing, law of attraction, and embracing the feminine energy. And up next, Tiffany Lapillion. Tiffany is a quintessential Renaissance gal who is an award-winning poet and performer committed to helping women use spoken, written, sung,
or embodied word art to facilitate worldwide social awareness and connection. Known as the manuscript midwife, Tiffany created manuscript to market process to help unpublished authors transform from holding back their stories inside to confidently sharing published books on the global stage. Listen to Tiffany as she shares her powerful story of overcoming grief and experiencing empowerment as a woman, wife, mother, editor, author, and international speaker. Tiffany is a regular volunteer for various artist-supporting nonprofits throughout San Diego, California, including the San Diego Book Awards, where she recently served as president. Not only that, she partners with other publishers to host the Let's Get It Done exclusive retreats in Temecula wine country of California. And now, here is Tiffany.
Good, good. We're doing this.
Tiffany, I am so excited. Clearly, we never have enough moments to talk.
Not at all.
And so we have a moment to talk now about some subjects.
Okay, let's do.
Excellent. So let's start with, tell us what you've been up to and what it means for you to embrace the feminine energy.
Well, out the gate, I'm a mom. Get more feminine energy than that. And this might upset some people, but it doesn't matter what your gender is. If you have children, you pull feminine energy and masculine energy to raise them, because that is what is needed to raise them. And not only that, for me, and my personal story of overcoming and getting to become this person that I'm really starting to like inside my own skin, I had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And it had to do with being a mom. It had to do with being a sister. I don't know, do you want me to tell that story? Are you okay with telling that story? Trigger warning, it's about infant loss. I was married, I was happy, and I was pregnant. We didn't know. And then we found out, and it was a beautiful event. You know, we surprised by the future grandparents and things like that. And then I found myself a month later in the most excruciating pain. From that day to this, I've never been in any kind of worse pain. It was like I was being stabbed in my bottom center with a rusty dagger, and it just kept going higher and higher and higher into my body. They wanted to admit me in the ER, and I thought that I would just be strong enough to just lay down at home. It was not the smartest move. I had 13 fibroids in my body, and they started growing when the baby started growing because of all the extra nutrients and feminine energy and blood and everything, you know, all of that growing. And so on February 6, 2015, I was in the hospital for the OB check. And the doctor said he was cautiously optimistic. 2 hours later, I was in the ER and I was holding my baby. And he was 16 weeks. He fit in the center of my hand. He was the color of the center of a rose. And I got to kiss him goodbye, but not in the way that I wanted to. I got to birth him properly without surgery, the way that I wanted to. And I went through mourning the loss of a child. And then 2 months later, sorry, 3 months later, my older brother passed away. Everything that I was feeling and processing and working through for my son went underneath all the minutia of bringing my older brother into the country and telling his friends, because we had, you know, decades of people we were friends with, same church with. We had celebration of life. We had to buy burial services and land and different things like that. And all of that minutia and all of that processing kind of overshadowed everything that I was trying to feel for my son. And so it was effectively muted. And it became this rock underneath this mountain of everything that had to do with my brother. But underneath all that, underneath that rock, underneath was this fire, this magma, this pressure that was my love and my silence and everything. And it was building pressure until one day I wrote it down. It was just everything that I was feeling, everything that had happened. And I'm a poet, so I took license when I felt like the images served, because I needed to feel it coming out, but it was all I could do. So it wasn't like I was creating and musing on it and spending time with it, but I sent it out to a friend and it was okay, got something out. Now I can get through the next 5 minutes. 3 o'clock in the morning, all you have is nighttime thoughts. I didn't hear from my friend for a few days, but then she called me back and she just cried. And it was like, when I heard her cry, I could breathe for the first time. And it was just about me loving my son, just about me processing my son, mourning my son. And as sad as it was, it became beautiful, because having lost the opportunity and the ability to process, I went into a whole spiral of different things, of anarchy inside my head and fear and rage and all of these different feelings. When she cried, I breathed and I reconnected just with that little bit of processing. And I started to crawl very slowly out of where I was. And I became this beautiful broken bowl. You've heard of kintsugi art, where the broken pieces are put back together with the gold? I felt the gold more than I felt the brokenness. And my heart is still broken. I wish my son Moses were here. I want to know what he would look like. He would be, oh my gosh, he would be 7 years old this year. And I want to know what that would be like to have him here. What kind of insanity that would be, you know, to have a seven-year-old in my house and in my life. But in the same sense, I still feel very much connected to him. I feel the beauty of knowing he's beyond the veil with my older brother, who was, and I still kind of believe is, a practical joker. In my personal opinion, if anybody could sneak a cell phone into heaven, it would be my older brother. And I'm telling you, because now I have two other children, that's a whole other story. He sends them messages of weird things to do that I'm like, that was only Andrew Beard. That was only Andrew Beard. He told you to do that, to tilt your head that way and say that thing. And so now from that horrible, and I don't even want to say horrible now, because the rebirth was so cleansing. It was almost as if the horrible times, they're never worth it. But in a weird way, I feel so whole and so connected to my son beyond the veil. It empowers me to do things that I never thought I would do, like feel joy at the very mention of his name, not in the sadness of his passing, but in the joy of his existence, because he exists and he is with me and he is connected to me. And I have a tree at the door of my house, a Moses tree. My mother gave it to me. I call it my Moses tree. And every now and then I hug it. And I just feel the leaves touch me, and I just feel like it's him saying, I'm here, Mom, I'm okay, you're okay, we're together, we're still good. And I don't know how to explain that feminine energy outside of that story. There's no greater connection than that. And that is my feminine energy. It's empowered, and it's empowering, and it's powerful, and it's a gift. It's like whoom, whoom, whoom. It just comes off me in waves, and I can't stop it even if I wanted to, which I don't. It's the most wonderful internal feeling ever.
And I do believe that what you expressed earlier, that when women, men, we all have that capability of bringing that energy, that balance. And some relationships, like my husband and I feel like we both have such a balance between the feminine and masculine. And he expresses the feminine all the time, the way he nurtures our son.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. I mean, in the conception of a child, you have to have both to create, you know, the splitting of the cell. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of duality, not as a practice to offer separateness. Like I very much believe in Schrodinger's cat being dead and not dead, because to me, I live my life one breath away from the veil. And through me, that's Christianity. Now, that might not be somebody's, you know, cup of tea, but as I work out my salvation with fear and trembling, I live my life. Like, you know, I have this, you know, this wall here, you know. And as I, you know, as I just lean back, I feel the pressure of the wall. I'm still a good 6 inches away, but because I know that it's there, my strength, my aura. People say aura. I have presence, and I don't mean to say, oh, look at me, I have presence. It's no, whatever this is, it's strong. And so my bubble is easily, you know, a foot and a half in front of me. And when I turn it on, it becomes 3 and 4 feet. When I'm performing on stage, go to the back of the room. Whatever that artistic energy that pours out of me, it's like the colors of my shirt, which I did not intend. It's like this, you know, very, it's just, I'm like paint, and it's this beautiful liquid. And when you understand that everyone is that far away from the veil, you just kind of move with it, and you breathe with it, and you dance with it. And as a not a harbinger, but a vessel of the feminine energy, I carry the masculine energy in me. I have to, or else I wouldn't be here. But in carrying the feminine energy, I bring the breath of God, and I breathe it out on people. And it's like, and it's not me. I know I sound like I'm really, really like digging myself, and it's like, couldn't be further from the truth. I giggle at the way, you know, I watch a tree move, and, you know, I'm part hippie, I'm part hood, I'm part housewife, I'm all those things. And I just maybe a year ago got to the point where I stopped apologizing for that. And I started embracing it. And then I started nurturing it. And now it's like, oh, come on, people, tell me your story so we can pour on each other.
I love the fact that you're using the word embracing. And what comes to mind are these fluid colors, just like the, and for those who may be listening to the podcast, not seeing the video, but the colors on your blouse are like so reflective of your personality.
Right?
Yeah, because it's vibrancy, it's beauty, it's mm-hmm. color, it's, and I like to dare to say it's powerful, because you're allowing yourself to fully embrace yourself holistically. Like,
yes.
That takes a while. That's why I wanted a conversation around embracing the feminine energy, because there's so much confusion around it. It's not about man or woman. It's not about necessarily, at least in my mind, it's not about man or woman. It's about what level of energy and how you are putting it out there in the world. Each of us has a capability of being that.
And that is why when we tell our stories, like when I talk about the feminine energy, there is no clearer definition of the feminine energy than the menstrual cycle, because of the cycle of it, and when it is consummated, and when it is, you know, impregnated, and then it becomes a totally different and bigger cycle, and we birth forth, and we bring life, and this is, it can only be done in partnership. And even in the with the people who are blessed to do in vitro, it's this beautiful, with the help of science, ability to take multiple parts of this feminine energy and multiple parts of this masculine energy and put them in a womb, a scientifically created, but a womb where they can be fertilized and grow, and then to take those eggs and I hope I'm explaining this properly, and to put them back into the womb of someone who can carry naturally full term life and then birth life. The first time I was pregnant with Moses, like I was been pregnant with him multiple times. I feel like I was pregnant with him multiple times. But every single time I talk about him, I get to experience the fertilization. I get to experience the growth. I do experience the pain of a sort. I do experience the loss of a sort. But every time I talk about it now, it's layers upon layers of gold in that brokenness, in that hurt, in that sadness, in that mourning. And so now my mourning is a joy because I'm still connected. And when I engage that feminine energy just by talking about him, I feel him around me. The Bible talks about the cloud of witnesses. And, you know, some people call that their ancestors. And other people talk about ghosts and spirits and things like that. And the way I look at it is, you know, when I have my access to the divine in place, and I'm having my conversations with the Lord the way I need to, my cloud of witnesses is standing with me, and we are walking lockstep. And sometimes those cloud of witnesses have skin on, and they're breathing, and they're living, and they're physically walking with me. And sometimes they've gone beyond the veil, and I won't see them this side of heaven. And some of them I get to talk to and I get to engage before they go. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm always telling my friends is, like, I'm a foodie. And I know for a fact that don't nobody make better fried chicken than Jesus. So I can't wait to get to heaven so I can taste that. You know, just to have the joy of it instead of the fear of it, the fear of the unknown, because the unknown is waiting for you no matter where you are. And if you're going to live in fear like that, it's there. You're welcome to, you know, you're welcome to engage it. But there's a better way. There's a more positive way. There's a more powerful way. There is a way that you can still flow and have, what is, I have yellow and teal and red and orange and purple and blue, that cobalt blue that I love. And I've got these black earrings on that bring it together because of the texture. And all of these colors are moving together with my chocolate brown skin on a, you know, against the backdrop of cream and bronze and gold and purples and greens and whites. And then I look at you, beautiful Shilpa, excuse me, because I was thinking olive, with your beautiful olive tones and your rust color shirt. And your beautiful, it reminds me of Cinnamon Toast, your hair, and the orange image behind you. And all of these things are swirling together and making this beautiful dancing, Yanantin, Masintin kind of duality going back and forth. And people talk yin and yang, and it's duality. It's duality. There's no need to be afraid. Now, for me, I add Trinity to that. And for me, that works because it completes the circle. It might not jive with everybody, but I'm proud of who I am. And because I'm proud of who I am, I don't have to hate other people, even people who don't agree with me. You know, I can sit and have beautiful conversations and sing Cantate Domino in a Catholic church and look at, you know, the all of the beautiful artwork that has been brought to the, you know, to the fore by people who are seeking that same missing piece, that same thing. I have the power of the knowledge of my feminine energy, and if that ain't a paintbrush, I don't know what is.
I absolutely agree with the way you talked about the yin and yang, bringing it together. Mm-hmm. So that really ties back into the embracing it. It's not just about embracing it. It's part of us holistically. Mm-hmm. There are two sides of everything. And bring this conversation even a little further out, it brings back what this energy has done for you. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you took that pain and you were able to then almost like have this burst of artistic flow in your life. And that brings you to what you do now, right?
Yes, I am an editor now. I I used to say I have these different callings. I have these different platforms. I believe 150,000% I am called to be an editor. It is my joy. It turns me on and revs my engine to bring a story that is locked inside of someone out in a polished manner. And it's, I've worked corporate, I've worked personal, I've worked self-publishing, I've worked with publishing houses, and all of these things it bubbles out of me. And the thing that I love is when a client comes back because they are so appreciative of the way that I handle them through the book birthing process. And I've been called a book midwife, and I love that. So all the way that it all ties back into motherhood. And I'll tell you something funny. When I was in college getting my degree in music composition, I named my college recital. You have to do a recital before you can graduate. I named my recital Scenes from a Womb. And I did this whole aleatoric, indeterminate situation where I gave people music and I had women placed in different places in the room to create a womb of sound and to have different things happen where I brought to bear a musical experience. And so I can easily say I've been doing this my whole life without meaning to. I've been birthing and pregnant and then birthing and then pregnant and then birthing and then helping other pregnant women and men, but now I've kind of really focused on women, birth these books, birth these stories, birth their cathartic release from trauma, birth their freedom from pain, birth their stepping into a new calling with joy and with that same power.
Now tell me, when you experienced the loss of your Moses, mm-hmm. Were you at the time doing the editorial work and your passion that you do now?
No, and the weird thing is I was already freelancing. I was working in marketing for PR firms as a freelancer, but it wasn't until after I was working for a publishing house, and it wasn't until after my son and then my older brother passed away, I published the name of my book is called Ugly Drawers, Pretty Panties, because that's what I was dealing with at the time, a lot of very intimate, very personal things. And it was about that very duality. And I published it, and through the publishing house that I worked for, A Word With You Press, I started picking up other parts. And I was thinking, I can do this for more than just poetry. Poetry is my first language and it's my first love. I was writing and putting poetry on my blog long before. But it wasn't until after Moses and Andrew that I started taking clients and bringing them through the book writing and the uploading to the different print-on-demand services and the editing children's books and the editing memoir and the editing manuals, the editing fiction and the editing fantasy. And it was all of these things because once I realized it, the subject matter almost doesn't matter. It's the way that the story comes out. That's the thing that I latch onto and bring out of someone.
Now, a lot of people go through the pain of many things, and we as women, but what I love about this, everything, there's so much I love, I'm getting goosebumps, but the fact that you took the pain and you took an existing talent that was in you, it was already there, it was already being utilized, but in a different way. And you pulled and you combined these beautiful, I would say, colors, you know, the darkness of death, the darkness of mourning, but the orange and the scarlet. And I'm just using these analogies as a way of saying each of these colors represented different aspects of lightness and darkness. And you pulled it into the yin and yang of your current company.
Yes, I am a publisher now. So one of the things that I do now is not only do I edit, because I have clients where I edit, but I also publish books. And one of the things that I've done is I've partnered with other publishers, and we're going to have a writer's retreat at this exclusive vineyard in Temecula next year, where we're going to give women an opportunity to step away from everything that they are familiar with, give them a beautiful environment, a private chef, wine tasting. So all of this comfort and making to feel relaxed and taken care of. And then we're going to tell them about how to work on their story, how to work on their branding, how to sell, if you will, the thing that is them in the business, because you'd be surprised how many women CEOs are so strong, but if they were to tell their story, it would round out that masculine energy that you have to kind of promote almost in certain C-level positions. It would round it out with that feminine energy of that, I think of it as, something else I didn't call it, I think of it as the Matrix. You've got the Oracle and you've got the Architect. When you're out in the business world, you're very much being the architect. You're building, you're building, you're building, and you're building, and you're building. But the Oracle is waning and is suffering and is starving. But when you tell your story, you take the Oracle and you join it with the Architect and you bring them together and you get Neo. You get this new thing that can exist powerfully in both realms. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and it also makes sense when you touched upon how C-level women, and often the rounding out the feminine energy, and I have my own experience working in corporate, and from technology of all things, so which is very male-dominated, and it's taken me years to soften again, even though by nature, I believe I'm probably a more feminine, softer individual,
but in different things, your spectrum of authenticity will shift because you're still being authentic, but you're getting it done. That's the name of the retreat. Let's get it done. But we're talking about getting it done, and you're bringing your feminine energy through that masculine stage, and you're rounding it out. And if you were to go back into corporate America now, I can totally see you saying, I'm not doing this because that's going to affect my feminine. I'm not going to do this because that's going to affect my masculine. Maybe I'll just start my own company.
I do not envision myself going back to corporate. And the reason being is that the more authentically aligned I've become in who I am, I have recognized that there was a missed opportunity and this is a little bit of a 10, but probably there was a missed opportunity to embrace who I am because of whatever reasons, the stigma of, oh, you're not this enough, not enough, not enough.
Yeah, the not enoughness, yeah.
And I was dealing with those and also dealing with other things and recognizing not then, but now recognizing now that I needed to give myself permission to say, I'm enough and I can be my own boss.
Yeah. But that's literally you've come Oracle Architect full circle Neo into I can be my own boss because I can do the masculine energy of building and acquiring and the hunter-gatherer, da-da-da-da. And I can do the feminine energy of the nurturing and the self-care and the emotional and mental creating that sacred space. And so when you build a sacred space, it's a womb.
It is.
Because that very thing is growing life. And that life starts with you and then it feeds out.
And I believe when I'm just going to say this out loud, it might be a little bit emotional for you, but I feel Moses' spirit is giving the birth of so many other people's dreams.
Yes. And that is exactly how I feel. And that's what I say. I'm leaning on him right now. Now, obviously, he is not here with me in the natural, but in the spiritual, you know, I am in heaven right next to him as he is on earth with me. And it sounds a little, you know, a little spiritual for some people, but in the working out of my salvation, in the working out of my faith, in the working out of my spirituality, I have learned to create that womb. And I have learned to hug it and to hold it, but also to understand that there is iron in it.
And also to embrace it, because that goes back to the theme of the month.
Right, exactly, to embrace it.
Embrace it, because there's no room, at least for you and I now, for not being enough. We are enough.
Right, exactly.
And so we're
embracing. You are enough.
Tiffany, you're enough. You're more than enough, because embracing this has allowed both of us to see things more holistically and recognize that we now can tap into a variety of, I would say, innate skills, innate experiences that have made us stronger. You know, just going back to just something that you had mentioned about just the challenge you had with birth.
Yes.
I too went through several miscarriages and had a fibroid as large as a grapefruit in my womb. And I'm not saying that that was the reason I am now doing Omni Mindfulness, but it could have been one of the catalysts, is that recognizing that there was so much innate pain that needed to be healed. And I felt like just listening to my own voice and authenticity and creating from that space is very healing.
Yes. Yes, very much so. And it's actually rather funny, because I've decided to publish the poetry and the journal entries around that time. And you actually saw the cover. I put it in the secret group. Mm-hmm. And when I first saw that cover, I'm not a pink. Me and pink, it's weird. I have this weird kind of feeling about pink. My daughter loves it. But when I saw this cover with all the fuchsia and the pink and the black and the white, the way that it blended so beautifully, when I saw that cover, it plucked that string.
And those who are not familiar with this private group, we belong to Soulful Sister Incubator for women who are learning to share their message.
Yes.
Recently, Tiffany shared the cover of her soon to be journal, correct?
No, it's a book of poetry. It's the story of my journal, of my miscarriage. It's the story of my journal entries surrounded by poetry. As I learn, there are so many people who have been through this who carry it inside themselves and can't talk about it. In the telling of the story,
yeah,
give other people room either to just hold our story as their own because it's outside, or to open up their voices and to tell their own story, because that's how we change the world.
And that's how we also are capable of, I would say, really letting go by recognizing the blocks more, you know, like from the world of mindfulness and spirituality, often the pain starts appearing because it hasn't been released or recognized. It
hasn't been released. Yep. Yes, right? Exactly. Exactly.
And so this book, along with almost everything I believe you do for the world, is helping people. It's not just that you are a publisher. You are so much more than that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And about the cover, though, it's so funny you mentioned the pink, because you had shown some other options, and I just was gravitated to the energy of that fuchsia cover, and I'm not a pink person either.
Right, I'm not a pink person. People ask me what my favorite color is, and it's contrast.
Contrast. Traditionally it's been deep purple for me, but lately I've been embracing some of these oranges.
And the rusts and the lighter and the browns and things like that. Well, you look fabulous, by the way. It makes you really look warm. Warm, like a rose gold.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Rose gold. Oh, I see it. I mean, personally, I see it.
Oh,
I see a lot of reds and golds coming out of me, and I see rose gold coming out of you. And there's
absolutely. Well, and there's like this synergy between us when we have conversations. We will be having more, because I love talking with you. Clearly, we will have. I'll help you back, because there are other topics.
Oh, yes, I'd love to.
I would love that as well. Now, going back to just one quick kind of synopsis. You were trained in music. You are now a publisher.
Yes.
And you are doing all these lovely things to help people as a facilitator in my mind in healing. And yes, the healing comes through sharing via your story or your poetry or different creative outlets, I would say. But that's the focus. And the thing you're doing in January, for those who might be interested to reach out to you, which I'll mention your social links and your website, but maybe kind of the 1,000-foot view, someone who's like an entrepreneurial woman like myself, say, hey, I have things to write about. I have a story.
Right. Okay. Well, January 27th through 30th, 2023, in Temecula, California, she owns multiple publishing partner companies, but we have partnered with Chateau Blanc in Temecula and Amy Chivica, this beautiful, amazing private chef. And we're going to host the Let's Get It Done private retreat. It's going to have a private chef all of those days. We're going to go out for wine tasting. You're going to have networking and a secluded space away from your life. Our story, yes, to write your story, because it's time for us women to invest in us. So you invest in your story, you invest in yourself, you invest in your book, because time waits for no woman. So let's get it done, you know? And so we're giving people that opportunity, that womb to create and to connect and to take that out into the world after they have this beautiful embracing moment within themselves and within those walls and within that womb at that retreat.
I love it. And if you need a meditation coach to help at the retreat, sign me up.
We will definitely be looking into you, because it's a beautiful space. It's an absolute, Chateau Blanc is, there are no words. It's so beautiful and peaceful. And you look out over the vineyard, and there's a whole hot tub over there. It's a whole thing. I cannot wait to make
it. This is a day-long one?
No, this is a multi-day retreat. You arrive on Friday the 27th. We do work on Saturday and Sunday, and then you leave Monday.
Wonderful. Well, there are so many reasons why people need to connect with you and follow you, and so many reasons why I need to have you back to discuss this topic or other topics that I think are so relevant for two women who are entrepreneurs, and also we embrace the spirituality part of who we are.
Yes, I call it, when I was in college, I went to Goddard College, and they called it Right Livelihood. They called it Right Livelihood because it was, someone else had called it, it's that heart-based work where the authenticity of who you are feeds into how you take care of yourself financially. And I think it's the most powerful, empowering way of being. And some people's heart-based work is to see other people shine. And yes, I own my own company, but I own a company whose sole mission is to see other people shine, to talk about helping shine, to help you take the stories that are inside of you, that are hidden inside of you, and to shine them up, polish them up, put them in beautiful wrapping and share them with the world, and embolden you, soulful storyteller, to own and walk boldly in your purpose and make money while you're doing it. I mean, to make money and be absolutely whole inside, it's that taboo.
Absolutely. And then going back to embracing all of it, right?
Exactly. The holistic sense of it all. Yes.
And I like the fact that you said heart-centered, because my three pillars of my business are mindfulness and mindset, what I call somatic wellness, and the last but not
the least. I love somatic wellness. I love the somatic understanding. I have a girlfriend I need to hook you up with in New York.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Tiffany. I look forward to a future conversation with you. And again, keep rocking the world with your talent. And the world needs you. And you are, You are enough. You are more than enough.
In the best ways. And you take that right back, Shilpa, put it in some tea and sip on it.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the links in the description and please subscribe, follow, and share. And continue to be omnipresent.